myself, Senator Cowdery. It's about 1:40, and it's the 26th. The first thing, we have three bills to deal with. The first one up is Senate Bill 269, an act naming bridge number 1121 across the Connecticut River, the Sergeant James Bonsteel, a bridge of honor. Is there here, anyone here to testify on this bill?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'm Carol from the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. Laddie Shaw, our Veterans Service Officer,
yeah,
is online.
She's online. Laddie, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Laddie Shaw. I'm the State Director for Veterans Affairs under the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. And I'm here on behalf of the veterans of the state of Alaska to ask your support for this bill in honoring a Medal of Honor recipient who lived in Alaska and died on an Alaska highway, actually on that bridge. And we could honor a veteran in any way we always appreciate it, but for someone of this stature, I think the honor is without question.
Yes. Does that conclude your testimony?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else online or in the audience here to testify on this bill? Will the committee?
Oh.
On 269, naming the bridge?
I think, Mr. Chairman, I think our Vietnam veteran would like to move the bill.
Which one of the two?
Okay. Whichever one jumps in there first.
The Vietnam veteran closest to me, would he introduce a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I moved Bill 269 out of committee with individual recommendations.
Is there any opposition? Hearing none, so moved. The next bill up will be Senate Bill 271, an act establishing the Alaska Marine and Rail Transportation Authority, establishing the Marine Rail Transportation Fund relating to ferries and ferry terminals and relating to the Alaska Railroad Corporation. And the sponsor is here if he would like to.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, I would ask of the Chair if we have received the warrants on what was expended from the Alaska Railroad, checks?
They have promised me that it's forthcoming. They're working on it, and there's some legal things that they want to look at, if I'm correct in stating it, and it should be here in a matter of an hour or two. No, a matter of a week, we hope.
In a matter of a week or so?
A week.
Okay. Well, that's a very,
yeah.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, that's a very important part of this discussion. But anyway, let me just talk about the bill, if I could, then. But we do need that information. Thank you, sir. The concept of an authority is not a new concept, but I think in this time of streamlining, consolidating, having government being smaller and smarter, this seems to make a lot of sense to me. And what this basically does, this makes a transportation authority. And the transportation authority would have two divisions under it. At present time, it could have more later, but at the present time, it would take in the Alaska Railroad and the Marine Highway System. When the, let me see. I guess you and I were probably the only two that were here when we purchased the railroad, Mr. Chairman. And part of the discussion when we purchased it from the federal government was that we would allow the real estate holdings to be transferred with it instead of separating them out. I remember several meetings on that. We also put in the bill itself as part of the agreement, after 5 years we would put it up for sale. The purpose of that was just to see how the whole operation was going. That has since changed, and I think that's for the better. I think the Alaska Railroad is a great thing for our state. I think it will be extended to Canada, and I look forward to its continuing operation. The problem is And the reason that I put forth the authority bill is that when we established the Marine Highway System, we did not give a land base to it. We left it completely at the will of 21 people in the House and 11 in the Senate and a governor. And for this reason, without a land base, it's been subject to appropriations over the years. There has been funds established to try to keep it somewhat solvent. It is the highway of the Southeastern, and clearly we've this legislature and other legislatures have eaten up the Marine Highway Fund, and we need to look at it in a longer term picture. I would just speak as the reason I put this bill in is I had talked to the people in my area about the Marine Highway System. And if it comes down between the anything and funding the Marine Highway System, it's not going to get a great deal of support from the people in my Senate area. They don't ride on it. They're not going to ride on it. And they don't know why they should have to pay for people to have a boat down here floating around between Seattle and here. I think that this is something that we need to remove it from the current system, and the only way that we're going to do it is I believe, is like the railroad, somewhat like our university and somewhat like some other things, we're going to have to give a land base to it. And to me, forming a transportation authority with the two in it and giving it an additional land base, I believe that this is a good first step that doesn't help us with this current year and probably for some years in advance. I'm not quite sure until we get the actual amount of money that may or may not be in excess from the railroad for real estate. We really won't know what the actual numbers are. But one thing is clear. The Marine Highway System has nowhere to draw for money right now other than to take it out of the general fund. And I would like to give transportation in Alaska the ability to have a land base, just like the and incidentally, the authority itself is modeled after the Washington State authorities, and they have land bases, Mr. Chairman. I've tried to craft this to where it's would have the ability to grow and to eventually someday not only be self-sufficient, but to start at some point adding dividends back to the state in form of new transportation capital projects. I foresee this as a long-term situation where if we would have done this back when we first purchased a railroad, if we would have turned around and give a land base to the Marine Highway System at that time, I doubt if I would have been bringing this bill forward. But for Austin, I think that we have an opportunity to form an authority in here. I am not in particularly the concepts I've taken all from other states, but I also can clearly tell you, as the chairman of the Transportation Subcommittee, we're going to run into a situation where it's going to come down between choosing between what type of transportation needs we fund, and I don't think that the Marine Highway System or the railroad should be put in the position of competing with general fund dollars when we have the ability to make an authority and give them a land base. I have tried to, and I've asked the question as to how many state acres are in southeastern Alaska, and I haven't received that information yet, but I believe it's around 500,000 acres, and that's a lot of small parcels too. I would not mind giving the new authority all of that land or any land that we can work on, because that would cause development. And just like the Alaska Railroad now, without its land department, it would have a hard, without its land department and with the federal government, it would have a hard time raising fees to such an extent that it could pay for it. But with the land base, it's able to. And I think by combining the two and giving them a 500,000 acres of land to develop, I think that over a period of time, it'll get past self-sufficient, and it'll become it'll be something that we can go to for bonding mechanisms and for revenue streams. I endorse this concept, and I don't think that the present situation is working properly for the Marine Highway System. I think that the Alaska Railroad situation right now is working fairly well, but it's working fairly well, Ms. Chairman, because we allowed it to have a land base. One of the amendments that was in House Finance, I remember at the time, was to take the land away from the railroad, and it was saved by one vote. One vote. Otherwise, it would not have had a land base when we purchased it. If that wouldn't have happened, I think it would have been a different situation. There's very few things in Alaska that are working without some kind of revenue stream, and this would enable them to have a revenue stream. With that, I'll be glad to try to answer any of the particulars of it. I realize that this is out of the ordinary. This is something that most people don't think about. We have territorial concerns. Alaska Railroad's afraid that reaching in and taking their money and giving it to the Marine Highway System. Marine Highway System's afraid that we're making authority, taking away the authority of the bureaucracy that's in place, because then they would have to compete with positions. All this stuff, to an extent, is true. But I do want a transportation system in Alaska that works. And that's why I have put this forward. And I think if we can set aside some of the inherent fears of jurisdiction, we might be able to come to a transportation plan that works.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I'd like to recognize Senator Taylor, as well as Senator Ward, has been here for some time doing this. And I, just in your comment about maybe me and you as the only ones, I don't know if you voted for purchasing the railroad, but I didn't, and I withstood the strong arm of a majority leader named Ramona Barnes at that time.
Yeah,
but I did not vote for us originally purchasing the railroad. And I don't know if you know, and I'll hopefully the others, that how much land presently does the Marine Highway have at their disposal or own?
None.
Okay, I just wanted that for the record. Senator Allen.
Just a couple of comments and a couple of questions. I guess the first comment is you're not still limping after Ramona's, after your disagreement with
never,
Ramona.
You're, never.
Okay. A couple of comments and then a couple of questions for the sponsor. I mean, the first, I mean, I want to say I appreciate the opportunity. I mean, one of the things that this approach does is it gives us the opportunity to talk about different things. And as the sponsor has noticed, some of those things are out of the box. Did want to point out a couple of things. One, on where do the dollars come from for the Marine Highway System? I mean, unlike the land-based highway system, 50% of the dollars come from the users. And that's one of the places that the operational dollars comes from. A couple of years ago, an idea like this had come up, and I asked for some information, so I recognize that it may be outdated. But one of the pieces of information that I asked for was, how much does it cost to build a two-lane highway or a two-lane road? In the Kenai Peninsula, it's $1.3 million per road mile for a two-lane rural road. To maintain a road, it's $6,400 a year for one lane. So a two-lane rural road maintenance comes to $12,800 a year. I'd like to point out that none of that money comes from the users. It comes from the general fund, unlike the Marine Highway System, where half the money comes from the users. And I think, I mean, I appreciate the opportunity to talk a little bit about this because I think it's important to remember. I'm not necessarily arguing against any kind of an authority, but it does seem intriguing that as we start thinking about things like this, I mean, perhaps one of the things that we could do is establish a land base for the highway system, much like we have for the railroad system along the railroad corridor. Maybe we ought to have a highway corridor that the Department of Transportation can use to leverage and and hopefully do as well on earnings as the railroad system has done. The other thing that I think that this gives us an opportunity to do is you know, just think about investing. And I think that one of the good notions behind this approach is that it does acknowledge that we need to invest in our transportation systems. I mean, it gets back to the question of how we do it. I'm skeptical that an authority of this type gets us there as quickly as we need to do it. For example, I think if I understand the bill correctly, we won't be seeing any benefits from this for a period of 5 years. And to some extent, I mean, I think that, and maybe DNR can address this a little bit, of how long it takes to transfer lands, what kind of restrictions you have as you begin to develop the lands and put them into a money-producing status. So kind of those are general observations. A couple of specific questions. I guess the first is, what does this authority, how do we treat this? Is it part of the Executive Budget Act, or would it assume kind of the mantle that the railroad has now outside of the...
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, it would be under the Executive Budget Act. And I think you've actually hit on the very problem that we have. The government, the state of Alaska, the administration and this legislature, in their wisdom, if they wanted to develop some of the land along the rail belt or the roadway system that they own in order to produce income to do transportation needs, they could have done that. They haven't done that, but an authority that's sole purpose in life is transportation, which has two divisions of Marine Highway and Railroad, their whole function is going to be towards transportation. And if they had that same land, they in fact would develop it before they laid people off or stopped runs between Petersburg and wherever, or kept the railroad from running on time, It would be, right now the state has the ability to say, to do exactly what you suggested. It has not done that. And the reason that I went to an authority is I was chairman of this transportation committee. I remember the authorities from the lower Bellingham, you know, they would come forth and they'd say, look, our whole function, you know, we may have a casino we're making money off of, or we may have a 55-year lease or whatever, but all we do is try to take care of the port and transportation needs. That's our function and our mission. They have elections by regional districts, but all the authorities that are successful, and I've looked through them in the lower 48, and you know, I don't pretend to have reinvented the wheel. They all have some kind of a land base or a revenue stream. We don't have that for the Marine Highway System, and I agree with you about what it costs for a road on the Kenai or anything else, but we have a political problem. The political problem, I was at a town meeting in Nikiski, Alaska, and I clearly want you to know this, that if it comes down between a choice of fully funding my school and my district or funding the Marine Highway System, the Marine Highway System in Nikiski is in trouble. I don't want it to get to that. Now, the railroad's not in that position because they have a land base. And I say give them a bigger land base. And if we can get funds, we'll give it to the authority. I don't know the magic answer to this, but our Marine Highway Fund has run out. The Alaska Railroad is on the verge of becoming a much larger entity, because if it connects it to the lower 48, we're going to be bringing entire mountains out of here and selling them to those guys down there, and I think that's great. I love all this stuff. But I think we need a statewide transportation plan, and to me, this is one of the corners of it. I don't disagree with anything that you have said about the value of the Marine Highway System. However, that is not shared by the majority of Alaskans, and what we have to do is to take that argument, as it should be, off the table and put it into a transportation authority where those people with that mission will be able to address it. Because if we don't, it'll be okay this year, but a couple years down the road when it comes time for budget cycles and we have to compete with the schools in my district as to whether or not my friends in Petersburg get to get on a boat, I'm afraid that there could be some troubles. And I don't want that to happen. These are both transportation entities and very important. And I'm not saying they couldn't expand to port authorities at a later date or something else, but it's time that we emphasize and put a bright light on this and start looking. And I'm glad you said out of the box, because it's out of the box in the form of what we've been doing up here for years, but it's not out of the box as to what they've been doing in other parts of the country when they form an authority such as the quasi-authority of Anchorage and Fairbanks airports, so that you just focus in on that issue. And that's what I'm trying to do with this. I know that's kind of a long answer, but it's the reason why this is here.
Yeah, we got witnesses here to testify, and I appreciate if you keep
just. Yeah, I had noted that I had two questions. One of them was the Executive Budget Act, and the other is, I mean, the two fiscal notes that were waiting for us as we got here may add up to $7 or $8 million a year, and perhaps you know, or maybe this would be a better question for somebody in DNR. I mean, $8 million a year is an awful lot of revenue from a land base, and that's just for the management before you start kicking money in for the system itself. And I don't think we have a fiscal note from the marine highway system. I do. But anyway, I'm just, have you had any conversations with anybody about what the expected revenue generation would be from the land base? Because, I mean, if you're taking $8 million off the top, how much is left for?
We could ask the railroad what's their revenue stream from their owners.
If you read their fiscal note on the second page, it says no revenue is assumed to be received from the lands to be transferred during the time of the fiscal note, which is 03 through 08. Now, that doesn't shock me. We could give, we could give to the railroad and this authority $500,000 acres, and they would not be able to make a dime off of it for 8 years. That doesn't, or I should say 5 years. That doesn't surprise me.
But Mr. Chairman, if I can, and I won't keep the witnesses, but when the people from Washington State talked about their authority, I could tell every single time that they made a lease of ground or a sale of ground or a bonding, it was completely focused on transportation needs. And that's the difference. This $500,000 acres is in existence today, and it's not helping the transportation needs of Alaska. By putting it in there, I guarantee you that the authority, before they are going to have a downside, they're going to figure out a way to develop it, whether it's in the form of leasing it out, clear cutting it, or whatever. That's their bailiwick to do it. But I think that we need to take some of our 103 million acres off land, offline right now, and put it where a group of people with one mission, and their mission statement will be clear, that they can concentrate on it. Otherwise, I think that we are going to run into some very large transportation problems in the state, and I personally don't want to see that happen. And if there was... I was not opposed to giving the railroad a land base when we purchased it, Mr. Chairman. And I can remember very distinctly at that time Earl Freeman talking about giving a land base and giving all the docks over to the marine highway system. That did not happen. And I think now the marine highway system's got to come here and say, please, Senator Cowdery, will you give me some money out of the general fund so that we can keep moving? And at the same time, there's four people in your Senate district that may support that. This is wrong. This is not the way to run a government.
Just a quick comment. I mean, I think that one of the charges for 20 legislators is to have a statewide outlook. And quite frankly, I mean, when you have a school in Kaufman Cove or one in Elfin Cove or one in Juneau, and you say, what is more important to you, funding the Whittier Tunnel, which, by the way, I voted for, or giving money to the local school system? I know what the answer to that would be. And quite frankly, coming to the legislature and asking for funding for the marine highway system is no different than coming to the legislature and asking for funding for the rest of the highway system.
And I agree. The
one exception being is that the users pay 50% of the freight for the marine highway system, and the users on the highway system pay Zippo.
Well, the truckers pay a pretty good price, and the fuel taxes. But anyway, I'd like to get on to the witnesses, and I don't want to get into a long debate, but your comparison of $1.5 million per mile in Kenai, I don't think it's kind of apples to lemon. I mean, you don't have the same requirements on the marine highway routes as you do the road routes, as far as environmental things like that. But anyway,
you don't. But let me. I mean, a fast ferry would the purchase of a fast ferry would purchase the construction of a two-lane rural road system in the Kenai Peninsula, and I can guarantee you that two-lane rural road system, according to DOT figures, would cost you, for a 30-mile road, would cost you $204,000 a year to maintain, and I can guarantee you that's a lot more expensive than maintaining a ferry boat that is running between communities.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
the last hearing we had, we asked DOT how many roads they'd built, and they hadn't built any roads, so I don't know how they can be really certain of the cost since they haven't really built it.
Mr. Chairman, I need to put this out before I call a witness. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Marine Highway Systems maintenance is absolutely being put at the back of the column. The ships and the people that work there, because they have contacted me, they feel like as if they're being treated like a stepchild.
I agree with the Senator.
And all I'm trying to do is to give them a land base so they don't have to be to eventually where we end up just rusting a hole in these things and it's going to fall apart. We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars to replace it. We have to start just simple maintenance. And this year, we all know what we're talking about. We're talking about just enough money to keep them afloat, let alone fixing it. We have to refocus this. And if somebody's got a better plan than this, please bring it forward.
I only have one question, and that is, and I'd hope the witnesses would address it too. That is, I passed a bill that provided 250,000 acres over a 10-year period, 25,000 acres to be selected per year. All sorts of effort went into that process, and that was to go to the University of Alaska, which I think is probably about as unanimously supported across the state as any concept I can find, and this administration vetoed it. Not only vetoed it, but we're on our way to the Supreme Court right now. I would love to see Alaska's 103 million acres of land finally provide some type of economic base for a tax base, for schools, opportunities for Alaskans to earn a living and jobs. But for the life of me, Senator, I don't know how you plan on getting this passed, the very same governor who wouldn't even allow the University of Alaska to have 250,000 acres of land. And so if any of your people could address that, I'd sure appreciate hearing that, too. Because as far as I know, he's about as wrapped up as tight with his greenie community as he can get, and he'll kill any land transfer that we attempt to make out of this legislature. So if anybody's got new news about the third floor and that somehow he really wants to help the marine highway system, by the way, this is the same administration that in 8 years has never requested an increase in their budget. So when we go in and beg for more money out of the Finance Committee for Marine Highways, I've had Bob Dahl and I've had George Capacci and I've had Joe Perkins sit right there and say, well, Senator, we'd like to have that money. I said, do you support it? No, this administration won't support that request. The only request they ever made in that entire time was when the Kennecott was going to be coming on late and they asked for some money to make up the slack in between. This is the very same administration that destroyed the entire Marine Highway Trust Fund, because instead of asking for the funds when they needed and getting it out of this legislature, they spent those funds. They had 30 plus million in there when they started. You're going to be broke at the end of their administration, and we're going to have to find a way to fund it. But if anybody thinks that Tony Knowles is going to pass this bill with 500,000 acres, I'd sure like to hear how they believe we're going to get that, because I couldn't get it for the youth.
I'd like to.
I think that calls for motion table.
Well, call people testify. Perhaps the railroad would like to be up first.
Thank you, Chairman Cowdery, members of the Senate Transportation Committee. For giving me the opportunity to testify on Senate Bill 271. For the record, my name is Bill O'Leary. I'm the Vice President of Finance for the Alaska Railroad Corporation. My comments today will begin with a short background on the Railroad Corporation's financial history and structure. I will then discuss the Railroad Corporation's position on this bill in light of this history and structure. As you know, the federally owned Alaska Railroad was transferred to the state 17 years ago, creating the Alaska Railroad Corporation. When legislators crafted the Alaska Railroad Corporation Act, they produced a well-thought-out document that positioned the new entity to thrive without operating subsidy from the state. The Federal Transfer Act and enabling state statute provided the railroad with many tools to face the mandated challenges of being a self-sustaining economic driver for Alaska. Some of these tools included that, similar to Lower 48 railroads, significant land holdings were transferred to the corporation. The corporation was granted tax-exempt status. The railroad was separated from the state budget and appropriation process so it could rapidly react to market demands. And the corporation was also given legal tools to protect both itself and the state from liability. The railroad has used these tools to be successful in meeting its mission, a mission that requires it to act like a private business in many respects, but with the responsibility of the public as it goes forward to promote economic development for the state. To accomplish this difficult mission, the railroad has required no state operating subsidy, but rather has operated profitably for the vast majority of the last 17 years. In fact, we're projecting a $4.2 million net earning figure for our fiscal 2002. Each year, these earnings have been reinvested into the corporation's infrastructure in an effort to address the significant deferred maintenance problem the corporation inherited from its federal ownership days. Let me be very clear about one thing. There are no surpluses at the Alaska Railroad. Every dollar earned is plowed back into the company, and it's still not enough to meet the needs of a massive plant infrastructure that's required to run a railroad 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in the state of Alaska. Indeed, the railroad's limited ability to generate sufficient internal capital funds has only recently been assisted by its eligibility for federal funding for certain of the corporation's capital needs. So what has been the primary component of our earnings over these years? The corporation has historically relied upon its real estate activities for the majority of its earnings. For 2001, virtually all of the company's net earnings will be a result of real estate. Since transfer, real estate has played a key role for the corporation. Again, similar to the Lower 48 experience, Alaskan towns have grown up around the rail belt. As these towns grew, rail land became more and more valuable. The railroad has capitalized on this phenomenon, leasing approximately 2,500 acres of rail land currently and generating significant income from it. In our opinion, this legislation would jeopardize all of this and further unravels the intent of the architects of the original Alaska Railroad Corporation Act. Although this bill proposes an innovative funding mechanism for the marine highway system, the Alaska Railroad Corporation cannot support SB 271. Simply put, we do not believe this bill and its companion constitutional amendment are financially workable. As you know, this bill creates an authority combining marine highways and the railroad corporation and permitting the authority to select 500,000 acres of certain state lands, presumably to be developed, to provide sufficient income to bridge marine highways funding gap. Our initial analysis of the bill and its financial impacts clearly indicates that it would spell disaster for the railroad corporation and the Alaskan companies and residents it serves. Specific concerns we have with the bill include the following. First off, the legislation would make the railroad corporation's internal capital funding virtually non-existent. The bill requires all rail land not used for operations to be transferred to the authority. Without the revenue from its real estate, the deferred maintenance problem that we faced at transfer and have faced since then will manifest itself again quickly within a few years. Further, without internal funds to be used for required match money, federal funding will be jeopardized. In terms of industry standards, a railroad the size of the Alaska Railroad requires anywhere from $15 to $20 million per year annually should be invested into this rail line. Without real estate earnings, this will be an impossibility for the railroad.
If I could just interrupt you, since you're a financial officer, and I think Senator Ward did, I would just like to know, you keep talking about the income, how much, two questions, how much income did you say you developed by the land approximately per year, and how much federal dollars does it take to utilize for the operations of the railroad per year?
Two questions. The first, our gross real estate income for 2001, we are on a calendar year basis, is it's unaudited at this point, but approximately $10.5 million is total income.
Okay.
We have, with regard to the federal funding question, Mr. Chairman, we are projecting for fiscal 2002 receiving a little over $60 million in federal funds to be used entirely on the capital side. There are no operating federal funds used at the Alaska Railroad Corporation.
Senator Ward.
I'll wait till he's done, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
The second point is this bill does not follow the successful model of the railroad. Railroad Corporation rail land is valuable due to its location and proximity to the tracks and the major cities that grew up around the tracks. Simply dedicating 500,000 acres of undeveloped land does not fit the successful model of the Railroad Corporation and its land development. There could be significant costs to bring this land to a state where it could be revenue producing. The timing of when this could occur may also be problematic. The next point is that significant administrative and management cost increases would be a reality, in our opinion. The bill appears to envision three divisions within the authority: marine highways, the railroad, and a corporate or authority system office. The cost of the system office appears to be incremental cost. Along the same lines, we believe there would be very limited administrative efficiencies to be gained through consolidation. Different locations, different benefit systems, different infrastructures, and different constituencies would not permit realization of such efficiencies, in our opinion. Next point is that placing the railroad under the Executive Budget Act would greatly inhibit the railroad fulfilling its mission. The railroad's budget, thank you. The railroad's budget could become politicized under the Executive Budget Act. This, along with the loss in flexibility to react to market demands, could have a chilling effect on business confidence in the railroad's ability to deliver reliable service. The bill, in our opinion, does not solve marine highways problems. Transferring 500,000 acres of nonspecific state land over a multiple-year period will not address the fiscal problems faced by the marine highway system, in our opinion. Depending on where this land is, millions of dollars may be required to transfer it and prepare it for any revenue-generating use. That, again, may be years away. As shown in the fiscal notes submitted, we estimate the initial cost of implementing this bill at an increment of $5.3 million for the first year from the state's general fund, exclusive of what subsidy may be required by marine highways. In summary, we believe this bill would not streamline government, nor reduce costs, nor wean marine highways off the general fund, but would rather create another layer of management, institute numerous costly administrative burdens, put a structure in place that would inhibit prompt reactivity to market changes, and would have the bottom line impact of making two agencies dependent upon the state rather than one. We believe this is certainly not in the best interests of the railroad, its customers, nor the residents of the state of Alaska. The legislature, and this transportation committee in particular, is focused on economic development through enhancing and expanding the state's transportation network. We submit that this bill is not the appropriate vehicle by which to further this goal. Thank you again for the opportunity to testify, and I stand ready to answer any questions the committee may have at this point.
Senator Ward.
I'll just be a little brief. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Taylor.
Well, first off, those brilliant people that wrote this and transferred the railroad and purchased it, I thank you. That was me. Okay? Just so that And
was it the chair?
And I was, no, he voted against it and fought it every step of the way. I was on the other side of it. So I appreciate that. I didn't realize that time would make quite that brilliant. But however, that's very good.
I'm not surprised.
Once we get the actual checks and warrants from the railroad and find out exactly how much money there was and what it was spent on, I think that'll be a little different situation. However, with your railroad hat on right now, if in fact a land base, and by the way, it was my vote that kept the land base with the railroad, and it was me, because I knew the railroad would not be able to survive without it. I've always believed in developing of our resources. The same arguments were made back in the early 1980s that, my gosh, that land will never be worth anything and it'll take forever to develop it. And it's surprising what 20 years will do, you know. But if the concept works for the railroad, taking away for a minute the Executive Budget Act and turf wars and you know, are you going to end up streamlining and because some authority says you got too much overhead or whatever. Set that aside for a minute. The philosophy of a land base, if it works for the railroad, why wouldn't the philosophy of a land base work for the Marine Highway System?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ward. Our belief is that the specific model that has worked for the railroad with its land base is due in great part to the land that we're talking about and the fact that it is around the rail line. And because it was around the rail line, that land became more valuable. The towns grew up around the rail line. And as a result, it became more valuable, and therefore we could lease it for more money. Our significant income. We have a number of acres of land that are available for lease, but we cannot lease at this point, just because, again, for not really access issues, but just it's not in an area that is to be developed at that point. So we see certainly big differences between actual land that does have access that is connected to the rail line and the concept of 500,000 acres that it appears to be an unknown at this point.
You try it one more way, if I could. Mr. Chairman, if the concept for a land-based railroad is a good thing, why would not the concept for a land-based marine highway system not be a good thing?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ward, again, it depends on, I believe, the land base that you're talking about and the costs that it would take to make that land revenue producing. There, much of the land that was, you know, available or that we're using right now, again, easily accessible and in some ways has just grown up with the railroad and has been, I'm not going to say easy for us to develop, but it's certainly been easier than certainly tracts of land, an undefined tracts of land.
So if I might, Mr. Chairman, the major problem that you have with the Marine Highway System having a land base is that the land's not as good as the land that the railroad has.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Ward, there are a number of concerns we have with the bill, which we tried to lay out here, but certainly one of them is the railroad's involvement in this particular bill at all. But certainly that is one of the concerns: is what land would be involved in this, and what are the costs to get it to become revenue producing?
I think, if I might, Mr. Chairman, see, that's why the railroad already has land, and that would become a part of the authority. So there's already some seed land already being developed, and then hopefully additional lands would be developed.
If I could kind of get in here, you said earlier about the cost of site development. What development has the railroad did to the land that they own besides the development of the rail corridor? I mean, but when you leased land out, did you do the sewer, water, the excavation, or the site preparation, the streets, and all of that? Or was that footed by the lessees?
Mr. Chairman, I can't speak with certainty on this, but my understanding is it's a combination of things. In certain situations, the railroad has gone in and improved, either through access or infrastructure, land, but certainly there has been situations where either the railroad has done the work and it has been, you know, rolled into basically the lease rate for the lessee, or certain other situations, the lessee has actually done the work themselves.
I think more of the latter. I've been in Alaska or Anchorage 50 some years, and I think that most of the lessees down there do their own work, their own development of whatever is required if they want to, through taxes on their improvements that they pay for the utilities and things. I don't think the railroad has very much involvement in doing that. And the railroad is basically, unless I'm wrong, if I am, I wish you would tell me or get it in writing once you have time to research it, that the land is actually not developed by the railroad. They own the land, period. And with that, Senator Taylor.
Yeah, over the last 18 years, have you made more money off your land or off your railroad operations? And I don't want to talk about railroad operations as sales of equipment, which you did for a long time. You sold a whole bunch of stuff off and made money a couple of years. But do you make more money off your land or off from the railroad?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Taylor, certainly net income. Gross income, certainly rail operations. When it comes down to net income, are real estate.
Yeah, and you always have, haven't you?
Certainly in recent years. And
in fact, most of the early years, as I remember looking through the balance sheet, the only thing you made any money on was land operations, and in fact, the land operations were subsidizing the railroad.
I don't believe that being correct.
Last time this legislature forced you guys to go out and actually advertise like we're supposed to be doing right now, and trying to sell, which was one of the conditions we took the railroad over under, and that was we would try to find a way of marketing it or selling it. Every time we've sent the thing out, the responses we get back is there isn't a railroad company in the United States wealthy enough to stand the losses long enough to buy it. Now, that may have changed with more rail cars coming down with Jet A50 and that kind of stuff, and I hope you prosper, but I thought that was the answer. You didn't like this bill, and I have reservations about the bill, too, but my reservations are solely about whether it could ever be enacted under this legislature and with this administration. But if this is not a good idea, what is a good idea for your railroad? What would really benefit your railroad so that we can see an expansion of the railroad south to interconnect with the Canadians, an expansion out towards the McGrath area, where I've just come from the Resources Committee, and we have significant mineral locations out there that are very exciting. Their biggest problem is, of course, transportation, cost of fuel, cost of everything to get to and from them. When can we expect, or what do you expect you would need from this legislature to truly expand this railroad? Let me give you an idea. Would you like to do it on the same basis that every railroad in America was built? We'll give you a section of alternate sections of land on either side of the right-of-way. Would that be attractive to you? Because that's how we built all the first railroads in America. Or is there some other idea that you have?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Taylor, certainly the first thing that comes to mind is, the railroad is most certainly goes with the Alaskan economy. And a strong Alaskan economy means a very good times for the railroad also, profitability-wise. So that's my easy answer, which really isn't an answer to your question at this point, but best thing that can happen for us is a solid Alaskan economy. Obviously, there's a lot of maybes out there, which certainly could change the face of the railroad, and I think we are in some very exciting times. There's questions about the gas line, certainly. There's questions about the extending to Canada, all of which we're certainly very interested in and would You know, we're certainly supportive of anything that allows us to continue to be self-supporting, very similar in the similar vein that we have been to this point.
But you don't have anything specific you can recommend to us on what we could do to benefit and to assist the railroad in becoming more profitable?
Senator Taylor, I certainly at this moment am not prepared to discuss that, but I can say that we can certainly get back to you on that.
I think we'd be open to any ideas you have. I mean, we can't get anybody else to develop any land or build a road. DOT won't build one. They haven't built a new one in my district in over 30 years. And as John indicated, the same was probably true on the Kenai. So I don't know. I really don't know how they know the cost of building a new piece of road. But maybe there is some place somewhere that they actually did that. But if you could give us some ideas back to either myself or the chairman, I know the Transportation Committee would be very interested in knowing how we might better assist the railroad in making you even more profitable and more viable in the future. And I'd rather have something affirmative come out of this discussion. Thank you.
Senator Wilkie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a number of questions, if I could. Yes. First, Mr. O'Leary, have you been invited to give a status of the railroad to the legislature this year?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Wilkin, CEO Gamble has given an overview to the House Finance Committee, and I believe is scheduled to do the same to the Senate Finance Committee.
Okay, thank you. I'll look forward to that. Just in broad terms then, I'd like to go back to Senator Taylor's question. What percent of your net earnings are generated by you being a real estate company rather than a railroad?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Wilkin, speaking in terms for 2002, our 2002 budget.
Come on. Wendy, you want to go? Oh, I thought you just saying hi to me? Well, okay.
Wendy, he can do
it. We strike that from the record.
Wendy, he'll answer right. It's okay.
We'll try anyway.
Pressure's on now.
Senator Wilkins, we're looking at $10.5 million, between $10.5 and $11 million worth of gross real estate income for 2002. With approximately between $3.5 and $4 million of related expense related to the real estate department, which is going to give us anywhere around $6 million of net actually from our real estate department in 2002.
And your earnings in 2001 were $4.2
million
total?
For 2002, we are projecting $4.2
million. Let me just tell you why I asked the question. My first year here, we had a report to finance, and I was on finance. I sat in, and I believe that the real estate versus the railroad operations was 90 real estate, 10 real estate. And then 2 years ago, it was 52% real estate and 48% railroad operations, and obviously that's a big change. So that's what I wondered, if you're continuing to be a real estate company or a railroad company, and that's really what I wanted to know what that. So I'd appreciate if you get back to me sometime and let me know with those numbers if they're correct and if they are where we are today.
Actually,
50-50 or
actually, 64? Senator Wilkin, I can answer that right now. I mean, for 2001 and for 2002. For 2001, virtually all of our net income is going to be derived from our real estate activities. So, yes.
So it's gone the other way from 3 years ago. So you're losing money on freight, or losing money on railroad operations, and you're making money on being a real estate company.
One of the things certainly that we are working very hard at this point on is actually looking very hard at our rail operations and converting that, turning that into much more, trying to drive our operating ratio down so that we are actually more profitable on the rail operations side. But to this point, certainly it has been much more break even on the rail operations side, or a small surplus when you take all costs, including depreciation, into account. And the net earnings amount has actually been generated from the real estate numbers. The numbers, the 45% that I believe you're referring to, or 50% that you're referring to, most likely relates to 2000, when through a large federal reimbursement related to winter storms, that we ended up had sort of skewed net income figures. And as a result of that, we booked a net income of $16 million. But the year before, we had a net loss of, I believe, $3 to $5 million. But if you'd average those years out, it would actually be about $6 million a year of net earnings, and which, again, corresponds very closely with what our real estate numbers would be.
General Gamble comes and talks to us. Maybe we could talk a little bit more about that. What's the net worth of our Alaska Railroad?
Net worth from the actual equity we have in it, I believe it's about $140 million, which is our cumulative earnings over the last, since transfer. We have $350 million worth of assets in our financial statements at this point.
So if we sold everything and paid off our debts, we'd get $140
million? Again, if you look at balance sheets again with the trappings of historical cost accounting on there and things like that, what we have, $140 million of retained earnings. There is the state's investment of I believe approximately $32 million in there also, so give or take $170 million.
And then the fourth question: if we did something as proposed in this bill, we've been the We've had a lot of money from the feds given to us primarily because of our status in Congress, and that largesse, would that be jeopardized if we put the Marine Highway in with the railroad?
Senator Wilkins, we believe so, in that, a large part of the federal funding that we receive comes with a 20% match requirement that we would need to generate internally. And again, without our real estate income, we are not going to be able to generate sufficient earnings to provide that match money. Therefore, we wouldn't be, while we'd still be eligible for the federal money, we couldn't accept it not having the funds to match it.
And the last question, there was some talk before we started about some information we'd asked those folks.
Yeah.
What is that information?
The Senator Ward.
Thank you. I asked for the checks that were written last year and to who.
Just checks out of the checkbook.
Yeah, and they said that that's kind of complicated, and they've been a while getting that together.
And they'll have it within a week. There's some legal things they want to look at. And
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah,
thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Incidentally, nothing in this bill takes away any revenue from the Alaska Railroad. I just want to make that very clear. An authority would be over it, and I have to assume that the commissioners and various people that would be appointed by this governor to this authority would not damage the Alaska Railroad in any fashion or form any more than they would damage the Marine Highway system. I think that they, as an authority, would make what decisions what's in the best interest of the state. And if it's just the one dock and Seward where they actually join together, the Marine Highway System and the Alaska Railroad, there might be somewhat of a conflict there. But that's why decisions are made. Is the coal operation that comes out of Healy, is that subsidized?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ward, is it...
Isabel, excuse me.
Is it subsidized?
Are we making a profit hauling all that coal? Do we make a dollar?
Senator Ward, something of that nature, I believe, falls under our... That's not something I'm sure I'm comfortable discussing in this particular venue at this point, in that it's just, I hate to fall back on the proprietary terms, but talking about different lines of business and what we do with that is not, again, something that in this particular forum I feel is appropriate.
In what forum would you find it appropriate to tell us whether or not the railroad that we own is making a dollar off of hauling that coal or not?
Senator Ward, that would be something that we could certainly look at. We'd have to talk. I could speak with our legal representatives to make sure. Again, my only concern is just that we are not putting anything out there that is going to damage either the railroad or one of our customers by putting this out in a public forum.
It could be done by executive session.
Mr. Chairman, yes.
So
So that's what you're suggesting then, is have an executive session for that?
Senator Ward, I mean, again, I'm not comfortable putting it out in a public forum, so perhaps that would, that means could take care of it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Just a real quick question, Mr. Chair. Bill, first of all, I think your testimony was very clear and very straightforward, and I appreciate the straightforwardness that you did use in presenting it. Just a very simple question. I mean, the $10.5 million gross on your receipts from real estate, what percentage of that $10.5 million comes from your fiber optic leases?
Mr. Chairman, Senator.
We didn't talk about that either. Only got one customer.
It's not a part of that, I don't believe.
No, it is.
Mm-hmm. No.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Alton, actually, that's... I was all set to answer until Senator Taylor actually mentioned that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Senator.
And I thank him for that.
Senator, we call him Senator Robin Tinker Taylor. He just blew it for us here.
I will say simply a material part.
A large part. Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any more questions? Senator Wilson.
I might just offer Senator Ward, just by being around Fairbanks and being around the railroad and Healy Coal, I would be shocked if in executive session or anywhere else we found that the railroad made a nickel off of that. The Sunil drives a very hard bargain, and it's my impression from being involved in it, not at the table but with friends, that the railroad has ponied up on numerous occasions to lower their costs to enable that mine to operate and ship half of their production to Korea. So we could have an executive session, but I don't think we would find out much other than the railroad is supporting a lot of jobs in Healy and on down to Seward. I just offer that for your consideration.
I thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I knew what the answer was, and I had already assumed that what I was going to lead into a broader picture once he answered the way you answered, but since he didn't answer that way, we'll just kind of, I think we all understand where we are, and believe me, also, I want to thank you, too. I thought your testimony was very good, and I certainly do understand the position that you're in, and you're in a very good position. The railroad has done an excellent job as an asset of the state of Alaska. I'm very glad that I was able to overpower my chairman back when we bought the railroad, because I think it was a fine investment. However, I think the Marine Highway system is equally as good an investment, and I'm trying to figure out a way to where they can be sitting at this table and they can be talking about their real estate holdings, offsetting them, and maybe they want to subsidize some of the Alaska citizens to be able to ride on it, somewhat like the railroad may be subsidizing Koreans to buy our coal. I know it's a strange concept, but I would like the elderly to be able to ride for free on the Marine Highway system. And they don't have that luxury. They don't have a land base. But I thank you. It's very good.
Could you have this one, since we brought up the coal situation, what is the greater extent of the transportation cost or subsidy, whatever you want to call it, from Healy to Seward versus Healy to Anchorage? In other words, am I correct in information I have that there's a large, large cost? They have to split the trains, they have to put extra locomotives on and everything to get over the Turnagain Pass and things like that. Is that a, would you judge 60-70% more cost from Anchorage to Seward than say Anchorage to Healy or whatever?
Mr. Chairman, there's obviously a myriad of things that goes into the cost structure of the railroad, and you know a number of things that we look at are, you know, allocating our fixed costs across the entire line and by line of business, and you know one of the things that we do look at is because the south end of the line from Anchorage down to Seward, it does not have the extent of the traffic that the Anchorage to Fairbanks line has. You know, allocating costs, it can be done in a number of different ways, but certainly there is significant cost in, you know, taking basically coal from Anchorage down through. You know, you've got to get up over the pass, and that's, you know, a time-consuming, expensive, operational piece of work. I couldn't tell you what the percentage split is.
Well, my reason, you know, we should be competitive in our marketing our resources, and certainly I'm a big supporter. In fact, I've been to Korea with Senator Murkowski on the very thing of marketing coal, but you know, we're going by Tidewater. It's closer to get to Seward, and it takes a long time to load the ships in Seward, and I was just wondering if we could improve and make certain that this operation continues competitively. I understand, what is it, Hyundai or somebody is in shipping. They take care of the shipping, and you're negotiating with your through them. And so, anyway, fairly familiar with the Korean side of things there. So. Yes, Senator Taylor and then Senator Wilson.
Just one quick one. And this committee could do this in just one simple motion. What if we just divide the issue? Instead of 500,000 acres to a joint authority, how about an extra 250,000 acres for the railroad and 250,000 acres for the Marine Highway? If that were to happen, would your railroad be testifying differently today? And would you be able to find some way to make money out of another 250,000 acres if we gave it to you over the next 8 years? Make at least some profit over 8 years?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Taylor, certainly everything else equal, a gift of land that you know, would be certainly something we would have to look at. But I could tell you right now, if there, you know, there would still be obviously the same questions related to where the land is, what the access is, what cost is it going to incur to make it revenue producing. But it would certainly be something we would look very seriously at.
As long as it's not taxed, you could do the same thing Noel's administration does. You could let it just sit there and never touch it. It wouldn't cost you a dime until somebody came along and said they wanted a piece of it, which is the way you've been developing all your lands anyhow. You wait for somebody to come along and say, I'd like to lease this, and then you figure out how much you're going to lease it for right now. It would seem to me that that's a win-win. You can't lose. And you'd be taking it out of the state domain. And we, the state of Alaska, selected the best 103 million acres out of all of the federal domain. That's what we got at statehood. Our forefathers spent a lot of time picking lands for various purposes. I mean, you wouldn't have to worry about shipping Yusubeli's coal. You could own your own coal mine, see, as a railroad. And I would just think that by dividing the question, we might get a lot of different testimony.
Senator Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bill, you've probably just been here today or maybe yesterday, and just reading the papers and hanging around the building, you probably noticed there's a lot of noise and a lot of discussion about taking money from the family, working families of Alaska to fund government, and from small business in Alaska to fund government. When you go to bed at night, how much, you give some thought to what appropriate franchise fee from the Alaska Railroad would be to help the people of Alaska fund their government?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Wilkin, like to say first that I rarely think about things like that actually before I go to bed.
It's kind of nightmare inducing.
I'm damn glad you don't.
To my well-being, but to actually address the question, there's a number of different ways this can be viewed, but the answer that springs first to my mind about this is we at the Alaska Railroad at this point, in my mind, really do not have enough as it is for it to do what really needs to be done to keep this railroad. The infrastructure that we are faced with maintaining is, it's tremendous. And the federal money most certainly has been, amazingly helpful to us. But we still need, every dollar of our internally generated funds. And as a matter of fact, we're continually striving to, again, what I was talking about earlier, to actually improve our operating ratio, improve our profitability from rail operations so we can generate larger net incomes to for the simple reason of being able to plow that back into the rail line. So, again, my initial response to this is we don't have enough. We can't generate enough on our own, even at this point, to take care of our own problem. And it's, and I would hope that we would try to do that before we would look, or before the legislature would be interested in looking at any sort of dividend, as you mentioned.
If I might, how many passengers are you going to carry this year?
Senator Wilkin, I believe we're looking at a little bit up from last year, so it should be right around the 485,000 to 500,000 mark.
So if it were me, and I wanted to take $10 from every one of those folks that comes and visit us and rides my railroad, and that would keep people I represent from paying $500,000 in income taxes, my vote goes to tax those folks from Illinois. So I'm serious in saying that that might be a discussion you folks might want to have around your board table about what for the railroad to step up and help with our fiscal crisis. I'm a big railroad supporter, and I can't imagine the state without it. But I can imagine this railroad helping with our fiscal crisis. And I would ask in all seriousness that you folks think about that, because I think that time is coming. Not this year, maybe next year, maybe 10 years from now, but it is coming. So, thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other questions to the witness? We thank you for tolerating us.
Good job, Bill.
You did a good job.
Thank you, Bill.
And is someone here from the highway system to testify? Or DOT?
Mr. Chairman, I'm prepared to do that, but I don't have any prepared testimony. I'll be glad to answer questions.
Bob drew the short straw.
Yeah, you're.
For the record, Mr. Chairman, I'm Bob Dahl. I'm the director of the Southeast Region of DOT and responsible for the Marine Highway System as well as roads and airports.
Do you, if you were given the opportunity, the Marine Highway System given the opportunity to receive land, would you think that was a good idea, or?
Mr. Chairman, I think we'd have to give that some serious consideration. That's a very generous offer, and it and obviously it would have benefits. I have to tell you, though, that I'm skeptical of the effect of it or the helpfulness of it. I mean, the railroad makes money, as I understand it, from the land which is contiguous to the railroad or conveniently located to the railroad, which it leases. I don't think that it's making money from the sale of property.
No.
Probably some, but so if the land is over the mountain someplace, I'm not sure that it's going to be really beneficial. However, it would certainly...
It could be if it was in the right location. It could be very beneficial. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Is Senator Taylor?
Yeah. If you took your Marine Highway hat off for just a minute and I offered you 500,000 acres of Alaska lands that you could select, you'd worry about that and wonder where it was and if whether or not you could make anything off of it, or would you say, I'll take it right now and I'll begin my selection tomorrow and I'll be making money off of it in 6 months?
Through the chair for Senator Taylor, yes, I'm sure that reaction would be a very likely one. I still have the problem of what to do next year and the year after that, and
what do you
probably
mean? Half a million acres wouldn't be enough? Is that what you're saying? You'd just sell it all in 1 year and blow it all?
I believe that identifying it and assessing it, valuing it, would be a process which is not likely to produce any real revenue for a considerable period of time. But, again, I
wouldn't want to give it to you. I'd want to give it to somebody that would figure out how to develop it and make money off of it for a long, long time. In fact, that's how we solved the mental health trust problems, was we gave them back their land. And they're generating significant income off that land right now.
Through the chair for Senator Taylor, if that's a good model, I mean, if that can be repeated, then certainly I would. This is the first time I've addressed this to this much detail, so if that's a good model for how it can be done, then certainly we hope to emulate it.
Well, I'd just be shocked that the Marine Highway would be opposed to having any additional asset base that might somehow help you meet ongoing expenses.
And just talking of a selection of land, I know in some parts of the world, islands, small islands are very, very in demand for sale or for lease. And these are some, I agree with both Senator Taylor and yourself, maybe the Marine Highway per se, having land in Tope Junction maybe not be the most desirable, but somewhere in this beautiful scenery that we have here, it seemed that land would be available for lodges and families, wealthy families that want, I know down in the Bahamas, there's islands that are leased for long term at very high prices and things like that. Anyway, I think land is land, but the location of it.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, what I'm apprehensive of is that the designation of the land and the donation, if you will, to the Marine Highway System is anticipated to be a solution to a problem. I'm not sure that it is, but certainly I'm willing to consider that. I mean, if it doesn't rapidly produce revenue, then it's not a solution.
What is rapid? You know, this fiscal note is 8 years. Would that be, what would you call rapid?
Well, I suppose if it could happen in 2 or 3 years, that would certainly be rapid. I think that's maybe unrealistic.
Thank you. Senator Ward.
Can you tell me, is the Marine Highway System's ships right now, is there any deferred maintenance on them, and if so, what is the cost of that?
Through the chair for Senator Ward, yes, Senator, there is deferred maintenance on them. I could probably ask Captain Capaci to tell us the exact figure,
okay.
But
I would like that information.
Do you want to come forward?
Yeah. Chairman, for the record, Captain George Capaci, General Manager, Alaska Highway System. I don't know the exact figure of deferred maintenance right now. I can tell you that all our ships do meet their certificate of inspection and their Coast Guard inspections and American Bureau of Shipping inspections. So they are meeting those standards. There is deferred maintenance on the ships. There are a lot of projects that we would like to do on the ships. I know a few years ago we looked at it and it was in the tens of millions of dollars of deferred maintenance.
So if I might, Mr. Chairman, I don't know. I don't pretend to understand it, but if I understood what you said, see, I've had some people that work on this system have told me some very disturbing things, but what you have just said is that we meet all the standards, and if you meet the standards, there's no big major problems that need to be fixed right now. Is that correct?
To the chair, yes, Senator Ward, that's correct.
Okay. And
Mr. Chairman,
what?
I might follow up. Yeah. The legislature has been appropriating somewhere around $4.5 to $5 million every year for our state paid maintenance and for overhauls on the ships. And that has put us in the condition that Captain Capaci described. So, I mean, the legislature has been forthcoming in that regard.
Yeah, and thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, there's people that work on the Marine Highway System that have told me that is not the case. That doesn't mean they just aren't disgruntled employees too. And so that's fine if we're in good shape. And I know you've had to give some thought to it. What is the what's the short term? Options that the administration that you have come up with in light of the Marine Highway Fund being pretty well spent up? Well, is it just to raise the fees to cover it, put a toll bridge on Muldoon Road? Tell me what you've had to have given some thought to this. Incidentally, that's what this bill is. This bill is some thought to it, and I haven't seen one come from you guys, so...
Mr. Chair, for Senator Ward, I would like to, by the way, say, Senator, that we appreciate your concern here, and I thank you for the thought that's gone into the bill and the motivations behind it, because the system does need that kind of support. I think there are perhaps three aspects to what we have in mind. One has to do with the addition to the system of shuttle ferries, which we think will be less expensive to operate and which will allow us to cope with the problem of obsolescence that we have with some of the mainliners. The second is a continuing examination of our tariffs and an increase in our revenue, which we expect to do periodically. In fact, my own thinking on it is every 2 years. I think we'll have a tariff increase about every 2 years. And finally, I think we will have to come to grips with the fact that some of our ships are now almost 40 years old, and whether they represent a worthwhile investment, capital investment in the long term is a serious question that we'll have to face. If we come to the conclusion that putting more money into increasing to meeting their increasing regulatory requirements is not worthwhile, certainly not having them in service will save us money too. So those three things, I think, are in hand at the moment.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, if the 40-year-old ships and 30-year-old ships are deemed too old and they go into a category where it costs a lot of money to fix them, what happens to that schedule? I mean, there's no ship, so it just goes away?
Through the chair for Senator Ward. We have a system which was originally designed to bring people in and out of Alaska. I mean, that's what those ships were built for, and that's what they've been doing. Thank you. That's what they've been doing for this 40 years. That's it. And that also, of course, provides transportation within Alaska. It doesn't do either of those jobs perfectly. And what we'd like to do is to improve the intrastate transportation with a shuttle system, and provide perhaps less of the interstate function. I think that we can meet a good deal of that interstate function, at least as far as going to British Columbia is concerned, with another shuttle system. So I think that by providing better transportation to people within the state at a lower cost, we can continue to meet the long-haul requirements that we have as well. So it's a combination of those two.
I might, just so I understand it, you said you anticipate every few years raising the fees of people going on to the ferry. Is that what you had said?
Yes, sir.
I don't like that. I don't like that. I would rather you have a land base so that you can develop some real estate, and even if it's an empty lot in Juneau, Alaska, I'd rather the ferry have every piece of state ground that there is in southeastern Alaska, including Tok, instead of having to keep raising the fees on the people that are using this. It doesn't somehow quite, and I'm not picking on the railroad, but it doesn't ring true that we'd subsidize Korea to get coal, but yet we're going to cause my relatives who my in-laws are buried in Petersburg, for them to have to keep paying more while we give cheap coal to Korea. And it's all transportation. And that's the part that I'm having a hard time, Mr. Chairman, getting my hands around here, because, and I understand turf, and I understand, well, gosh, if we have an authority and we mingle together, we may not need two assistant directors. You know, there may be an assistant director that goes away. To me, that's certainly not the end of the world. But raising the fees when we have the opportunity to start addressing it now, I would hope that the department, that you would come up with some solutions other than raising fees every 2 years. And the state, you already own this 500,000 acres. The administration could clearly have developed it already and offset the cost to government. For whatever reasons, and maybe the fault of this legislature too, that just simply hasn't happened. But I know that down in Bellingham, where they have an authority, they spent weeks talking about how do we make some money off of a piece of ground, because they own the ground, and that, and how does that money help transportation? It shines on it, and that's this concept, you know, when the senator from Rango talked about splitting it up. You know, I don't mind splitting it up. I'm not married to the fact of the railroad being in here, not being here, or anything else. But I think it's high time we have this discussion, because there is no Marine Highway Fund, and I'm glad to hear that our ships are in good shape and they don't need a lot of capital money, because that's certainly not what has been told to me as the chairman of the Transportation Committee on Finance, and I'm glad to hear that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator.
A question, more of the sponsor, I guess, and I didn't see in the bill. Does the transfer of land include the transfer of mineral rights? I know the bill talks about sand, gravel, and materials, but doesn't, I mean.
Subsurface, right?
Yeah, for example, could the authority select coal-producing land?
It is my intent that subsurface rights be transferred to the authority. Gravel rights are to the railroad right now, but it is my intent that subsurface rights be transferred.
So that's what's accomplished in
yes,
the bill.
But however,
that's just a clarification. The state does have the subsurface rights?
Yes.
On certain lands?
On the state-selected lands?
Well, I'm not sure of that.
Okay, but they are not allowed to convey them under the Statehood Act.
That is correct.
But you could, you could
own the subsurface rights, but no.
But an entity of theirs can.
Right. You could, yeah. You could transfer to another state agency.
You can transfer to an entity. Yes. Within this authority, Mr. Chairman, if I might, fits into an entity that could receive subsurface rights.
Yes.
Maybe we could transfer ANWR to this, you know, or PET 4.
Well, all of a sudden, I'm in favor of it.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, Senator Ward has raised some important philosophical questions, and I think that all of us at DOT have been prepared to answer the question when financial issues become a concern and when funding becomes a concern. What are you doing to see to it that some part of this requirement is being met by your own efforts? And I think we need to be prepared to respond to a question such as the senator has raised, and whether that's the right way to increase the Marine Highways revenue, and whether that's the only way that should be pursued, those are all important philosophical questions. We think some modest increase in tariffs at periodic intervals needs to be given serious consideration, at least.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Taylor.
We've done the modest increases for several years now, and we've modestly got ourselves up to the place where you're now begging for somebody to market your facilities so you can try and figure out how to get a rider back on them. But that's just what Southeast needs right now for their economy, is a couple more increases in ferry fares. Do you have toll road authority? I mean, don't we charge in a toll on Whittier? You were going to, and that's the
authority does.
Authorization.
The authority does.
Anyway, I'm asking Buffy if this DOT has toll road authority.
Through the chair, for Senator Taylor, I'm not sure. I presume that
the other state uses them like crazy. Every place I go, I got to throw money in a little change thing to drive down a turnpike in New Jersey, Florida, Chicago. Chicago, I go through about four of them to go see Case grand folks here.
Through the chair, for Senator Taylor, if Whittier represents an example, I must say yes, but I've never investigated the subject.
I don't think you did it that way. I think you guys funded out of another pot and stole some federal money because the legislature appropriated the money for you. I know Betty Cato had passed the bill, and I was a co-sponsor on it because it was called the Whittier Tunnel Bradfield Hall Road Toll Road Bill. Only took us 16 years to get the Whittier part done. But
the
money was there based on Whittier being a toll road, that the people would reimburse the bonds off of a toll that would be charged, and it would be run through ADA. That was the funding mechanism. So I know that we authorized you there and authorized ADA in that bill to do that. But I just wondered as a general principle whether or not our DOT had toll road authority. Because if it does, I want a toll booth put up on the Glen Highway And every one of those rascals driving in and out of Wasilla and Palmer every day, going to work, they can pay one nickel, and I guarantee you we'll fund your marine highway system forever just off of that. And the nice thing to make them really appreciate the marine highway would be shut the bloomin' road down for about a week at a time like you do with all of my towns, and we can let them all sit at home too with groceries coming in. Then we could all feel the same way and be treated equally in this thing. But I want to know if you got toll road authority and if you're looking at using it any place in the state.
To the chair for Senator Taylor, I'll be happy to research that.
Please, because I'll check on it with research too.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. More questions?
By the way, last question for DOT. Do you guys oppose the bill or support the bill? You didn't put a fiscal note in either, but
I want to check first.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, for Senator Taylor, I have not discussed the subject beyond Southeast region, so I don't know what the department's position on the subject will be. I think the commissioner is on record as having said that if a financing mechanism can be found, that he'd be happy to endorse that tactic, if in fact it will provide financing for the marine highway system.
I thought that was the quintessential question of why you were here, whether or not the Department of Transportation supports or opposes the bill.
Did they just say they supported it, or I missed that?
No, they didn't. Apparently haven't looked at it long enough yet. How long has the bill been in?
Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Chair, we've got one entity saying no and the other saying maybe is what I'm hearing.
I'm not hearing yet. That's why I asked the question.
And you
Mr.
want to
Chairman,
clear it
I did
up?
Not come prepared to testify, so I can't answer the senator's question, but I will. Obviously, I'll get an answer.
You will get an answer?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Did the committee fail to give them notification that we were holding this hearing a week
ago? Yeah, they had notice.
There's no fiscal note either from them?
No. We're going to hold this bill anyway until we have some more information from the railroad. So we got one more bill to bring up, or a resolution.
Hopefully then you could get us a fiscal note and you could get us an answer to the question of whether the department supports or opposes the bill.
You want to testify? Hey, we have one more person to testify.
Okay.
Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Carol Carroll, and I'm from the Department of Natural Resources, and I'd like to make a few comments on this bill. But first, I'd like to invite the committee. DNR has before the finance committees this year various revenue-generating proposals. Might cost a little money, but actually they use state land, and they make some very good proposals before the Finance Committee if you're interested in revenue generation on state land. We do have some ideas for you. But in particular for this bill, and so if you would like me to come before the committee and give
I would like to give you
a presentation on
I would like you, if you could put in writing, say in this marine, in the passage so called, of all the properties, the small islands and properties that might have high commercial values, if you maybe could identify those.
Mr. Chairman, I can certainly tell you how much state land we have in Southeast and whether they are on islands or whether most of those islands are federal.
Yeah, I'd appreciate that.
I will do that.
How much we have?
To that point, Mr. Chair, I mean, I think the DNR probably has that because I know you went through that exercise with the University Lands Trust Bill.
Yeah. I believe so.
She'll get it. She don't have it right now.
I just don't have it with me, but I can certainly provide that information. And, Senator, I'm sorry that you haven't received that information back from the department, but I didn't know that you were requesting it. So I'll make sure that we get some of that information.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, and actually I requested state land that was not only in Southeastern, but because this is the Marine Highway and Railroad Authority, state lands up through the rail belt, too. And I wanted to know all state lands, including state lots or state buildings or anything else. I wanted to give it all to this authority.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, I think I can get you some maps that at least show where state land is. I know that we have.
Do you know how many acres are in Southeastern Alaska state land?
No, I do not. That's one of the pieces of information I will give you. I don't know if there are 500,000 acres of state land in Southeast.
No, there aren't. Feds wouldn't allow us to take that much.